Probably a fun fact on me is that I like to read. I like to read. That's a lost art nowadays. Oh, my great uncle is Jesse Owens. He won 4 gold medals in 1936.
Yeah. I always want to leave people with this, man, to all the viewers and everybody out there, man. Make sure you guys finish the story. Make sure you guys finish your journey because somebody's going to need it.
Yeah. All you gotta do is push the bad button. That's all you gotta do. Push the bad button.
Try not to think about the future too much so you can maximize the now.
Who's your favorite rap artist?
Man, to be honest, it's crazy. Tupac always been my number one, right? Like, he got me through so much stuff, but Lil Wayne has been in the modern day.
I said, what does it really take? What does it really take to be great, Drew? And he looked at me and he was like, you really want to know? And he was like, to be honest, everything you did to get here, you need to be consistent times 10.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Hello, everybody, and happy hump day to you. It is June 28, 2023, roughly about 7:40 Central Standard Time, but it's your boy Coach Lee. Welcome to the Number Basketball Show. Definitely got an exciting show for everybody today, but we're gonna get right into the content. But before we can do that, we gotta bring my man up in here, my fellow brother from the Northeast, Lego fan, Lego man, Lego legend, my man Metal Watt.
And I heard them talking about my Lakers today earlier, man. Don't talk about my Lakers like that, but it's Wednesday. I'm David. We talk basketball here. Number Basketball Show. Glad to be with you, Coach. Glad to be with you all. Like, share, and subscribe. Remember that. What's good, Bobby? Chris, we are actually 9 minutes late. You know, we've been here for a little bit now. So hopefully you're tuned in. You're back. Hopefully. You said you are.
Freaking lovely. And as my man Tuesday, happy hump day.
So I'm saying one thing about, man, you know, to all the guys in the world, man, you know, and all the ladies in the world, man, ain't nothing more better in this world than some hump.
Some hump?
You know what I'm saying? Like Jake said, like, share, and subscribe, man. But it's Wednesday, man. What happened over the past week in basketball? Well, we've had NBA draft. We had a few trades and interchanges. We talked about a few of them last week and throughout the NBA draft party, which I'm definitely going to give another clap for, you know what I'm saying, because it was outstanding. I loved it, you know what I'm saying. I wish we had an encore presentation of it, you know what I'm saying, on all airwaves. Soon we will. But to start this off, man, we're going to start this Wednesday night off with someone who's been in trade rumors, probably not trade rumors, but, you know, people want him to leave this place for about the last 3 or 4 years. We're talking about Damian Lillard. As of yesterday, he had met with representatives in Portland. He just wants a team that's going out there to compete and win. You know, he doesn't want a stack team. He doesn't want to be with a superstar team, according to him. We don't know if Portland's still trading him. Heard that the decal Dame came off the arena earlier. But then I'm hearing tonight that he's going to host Draymond Green for a pitch dinner tonight, potentially to bring Draymond, who was a free agent, over to Portland. And I said that around this time last year. I want to thank Damian Lillard if this all is true and he remains a Blazer. Just want to thank him for being the solid one, you know, out of all the guys, you know, in the association, you know, of staying loyal to a team. We don't know what Portland's thinking right now. They just got Scoot Henderson. And, you know, that's a big move. You know, a guy that, you know, could play Damian's position. But at the same time, Portland wants to continue to sell Damian Lillard jerseys. But we're going to say that to say this. Analyst now, you know, former NBA player Kendrick Perkins, accuses Damian Lillard of trolling Portland. Shout out to the Basketball Network for this story. And I'm just going to get straight to what Perk said. And we're going to get some feedback from Coach and the guys here, man. Definitely. At this point, I'm tired of talking about it. We've been talking about Damian Lillard and whether he's going to get traded for the last 3 or 4 years. At this point, I'm starting to think Dame is trolling. Look, he wants to be in Portland. I don't know if championships matter to him like it matters to us and wanting to see him on a big stage. So, Coach, man. Obviously, you've been adapted, paying attention to the league just like me. So you've heard this story a bunch of times, and we keep hearing the saga. What's your intake on it?
First off, I like Kendrick Perkins for his takes, but sometimes he can be a little bit biased, and he definitely has some.
Oh, man. Hey.
He throws crap out there, man, to try to stay relevant. But here's my thing. All the rumors that you heard about Dame, they ain't been from Dame. They've all been from, maybe his agent might say something, but that hadn't been verified. But a lot of it comes from fan speculation. It comes from people talking about it. But Dame has never come out and said, I want to be traded. So I don't know why Perkins is giving him all that hate on that side. But again, this could be Perkins trying to stay relevant by just throwing some crazy stick out there and see if it'll stick for him.
Yeah, definitely could be that. Definitely could be a Kendrick Perkins take because he wants to be loud and wants to be heard. But I say this too, man. You know, how many more Dame jerseys can you possibly sell? And you're right, Coach, right on the money. We haven't heard nothing exactly from Dame. I watched two actually live Instagrams of Dame's. One, you know, he had the Miami song playing in the background. And then one, he was just playing and chilling with his children, you know? So which one is it? You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, he's still in Portland as of tonight. You know, obviously, they don't got to move him. You know, he has a deal that kind of sticks. So at the end of the day, I mean, obviously, he's going to have say-so of what goes on. But at the same time, he's locked in, so Portland could continue with him. They did give him a contract. Now, Portland gave him that contract for the lifetime being in Portland, then we'll see. But, you know, what he's making and what potential NBA players could make in the future, you know, it is probably good right now to trade him. But maybe not. Maybe Dame continues to average the number that he's averaging and continues to, you know, by the time he gets older, he's still going to have a little bit of value on him. If he's still able to do what he's, you know, been doing. Now, the injuries last year especially, you know, saying kind of harmed him, but let's see what he does this year. Yeah, Jake, man, Nick Vujicic was extended by Chicago. I honestly thought he would be somewhere else. Maybe he likes the city of Chicago because I thought he would pretty much probably move, but, I mean, the Bulls are going to end up moving somebody. Now it's up to if they're going to move DeRozan or they're going to move Levine. Actually, be real with you, if I'm the Bulls, I'll stick it another year and try to keep all those guys there. That's just me. Because they played bad last year, but, I mean, season could change. Who knows?
I think they got caught off guard because, well, I'm trying to get the benefit of the doubt because they do have a bad track record when it comes to knee injuries. But I think they got caught off guard a little bit with the inavailability of Ball. I didn't think they thought that knee injury is going to be that significant. But at the same time, the medical team has a track record. You got Ball now. You had Luol Deng, and you had Derrick Rose. All with knee issues that didn't go very well.
Yeah, definitely didn't go very well. We talk about ACL injuries. You know, Derrick Rose, you know, for what it said, man, didn't end up the same after that. You're right. The knee injuries definitely do linger. And then Lonzo, just to cover it. But they're going to tell you the Triple B sneakers that he was wearing. And, you know, and the way he was wearing and, you know, that happened to him. They're not going to talk about the Bulls medical staff coach. You give him too much sauce over here. And we're thinking about the medical staff. I ain't heard one person say yet talk about the Bulls medical staff when it comes to Lonzo. It's just clowning them or like, oh, it's sad for him. But you're not really getting the optics. But, you know, hey, if he was a Kawhi Leonard, you would blame the medical staff, right?
Right.
Treat people the same way in that aspect because no matter if he's Kawhi Leonard or Leonard Kawhi, and Leonard Kawhi is not in the league, you know, he's an NBA player. So if this is a medical reason, then, okay, you can argue the medical reason too. But at the same time, it should be mentioned as well. So I appreciate you for mentioning that. You know, not that you're redlining the medical staff, but we're talking about everything else but the medical staff.
Yeah, I think you definitely got to look into that. And like you said, you haven't really heard anybody talk about it. But here on STWF, we talk about it.
Yes, sir. Bobby, we're going to get to your comment in a second because we're on Dame 2. What's going on, Mr. Robinson? What's going on with you? You know, besides them Cowboys, you know what I'm saying, going to be better than the Saints this season. You know what I'm saying? We doing good in here, baby.
Get them started, man.
Shout out to you, man. I figured I had to, man, because, you know, I've seen a lot of posts in the past go by. You know what I'm saying? You win money off the Cowboys and stuff like that. But, yeah, man, you know, you show love. Shout out to you, brother, man. Bobby, you have said it before. Maybe yep. Dame gets paid and he's actually trash. That it's sad to even hear that being said. It's sad to even hear that being said because Dame's one of the good ones, man. But the way you say it, it's kind of like Dame knows his game and that's why he wants to stay in Portland. So I'm not disagreeing with you. No, I'm not agreeing with you. But it's a great topic to bring to the table and have my mind swirling because maybe I will one day agree with you. You know what I'm saying? Chris,
now,
you're going too far in the bag, Chris. We got you.
Now, you said that no, he obviously he's got a dinner tonight where he's hosting Draymond Green. And they said that they actually people that had reservations there tonight, they had to have the reservations canceled because he actually was renting out the entire restaurant. Just for them and probably their family, whatever the case may be, but they don't want any normal patrons there. So do you think it's more for me? Well, I'll tell you my perspective. I think it's more of him trying to recruit Draymond there because they're probably going to lose Jeremy Grant. More because I don't see Dame going to Golden State. So I don't think recruiting him there. So I can definitely see him coming. They're trying to get him to come to Portland.
I wonder, first off, if they invite Scoot Henderson to this meeting because he's still going to be that guy over there in the corner looking to see what goes down, number two pick. But if Portland actually didn't play the number two pick over Dame in terms of the power, because we know Scoot's going to most likely, you know, get started minutes, then where you going? But nah, back to this reservation closing. Yeah, man. I mean, if he thinks Draymond's that piece to and like the team, Portland's not bad, but it's not the only piece they need. And right. Dame has to learn that to be in a winning situation now in the NBA, though you can learn from the Denver Nuggets still had a good enough team to get there and win. Right. Portland has to have a good team to get there and win. Does Dame really think that this team with an added Draymond Green is something to mesh with in the West? Or is he trying to say at the end of the day, I made an effort to go get someone of my caliber? I've never been in this situation before when I'm trying to bring somebody that I like over here. And maybe he's just enjoying the finer things in life, things he's never done before, including soon possibly playing for a new team. Who knows?
No, I personally haven't heard of Dame's take on championship or his championship legacy, so to speak. I could be wrong, but I haven't personally heard it. I don't think that's in his a top priority for him. I think his biggest priority is loyalty. Because you got to look at how things have kind of come undone in the last couple of years. And we just mentioned that he hadn't come out and said he wants out. So it kind of looks like he's prioritizing staying in Portland over winning the title.
Oh, yeah, he definitely is. He's been feeling that way for a few years, man. People just love the hoop. People just love to play the game. Just beat it. You're at the dance already. And you, even if you ain't getting no run, you're at the dance. At some point, you're going to have to dance your way to stay there. But Dame's done that. So at the end of the day, no matter how his career ends, he's a Hall of Famer for sure. Right. And that's where Dame kind of goes at. You know, now, this is the thing. Portland controls it. So, ultimately, it's up to Portland. Portland's been supporting him for so long, as well as him. But we look at the manager side here, it's like, we don't have a lot of GMs like that no more. You know, vice versa. We don't have players like that no more. So, we see a combination of it. We just want one of them to be bad and just end the relationship. We're hearing probably from people that have bad relationships themselves. You know what I'm saying? Or been in bad relationships or can't hold a relationship. But they are. At the end of the day. And people say, oh, they're not putting the right product out to win basketball games. I mean, they're not the best, but they're not certainly the worst. I mean, number two pick this year, but we're going to look at it. You know, a team rebuilding, they got some good players, though. They're going to compete next year, definitely. Whatever team they keep. But is it championship material? Dame doesn't care about that. Dame just wants to put a good winning product on the field and on the court, a team that, in his mind, probably can surprise people and win games. But the only piece can't be Draymond. Bobby says even if he leaves, he's showing loyalty. But, man, I'm tired of Dame talk every freaking season. Yes, it's Dame talk every season because he's a guy that can probably not roll the dice for a team to turn championship, but he is an attraction. And I've been saying for years, Damian, come to the East Coast. Because what? If you play at Eastern Standard Time, they would love you out here if you're putting on performances like you put on.
Right.
Trust me. Everywhere they would. Just for the early basketball reasons.
Now, I'm going to go to this comment by Bobby where he says about the play-in. I think that's been very generous because looking at their roster, it'll be him, Dame, Nurkic. And then, you know, you got Knox and you got Watford and Walker. Simmons.
You got a second year Tarzay Sharpe. You got Anthony Simmons, who's actually a guy that should be talked about as well, along the trade volume and all that. Because now you got three guards you gotta talk about. So Portland's got at one point decide, you know, don't mess up like you did with Michael Jordan, but you're gonna have to make a decision.
Yeah, yeah.
Of one of them. Schmucks politely. He definitely did. But it's all right. You heard me?
We got to think. They haven't really had any playoff success since the breakout season they had in 2019 when they reached the
West. They made the West Conference Finals. And we've seen what's happened to teams. And I hope that my Lakers are not another team this season because it's kind of like a trend where the Western Conference teams – the losers from the year before, the losers the year after go into a slump and don't make the playoffs. Right. So we don't want that to happen to us, but yeah, man, it's not looking trendy in Portland. Maybe it is because they missed the playoffs last year.
Fair enough.
Roll out, man. Second, guys. Like I said, we had a bunch of trades here, but I want to talk about one trade specifically. Luke Armadale to Chicago. Shout out to the Bulls, you know, for keeping him, though I thought he should have moved. But if they decide to run it back next year, let a guy go or two, then they're all right. The Utah Jazz. Danny Ainge kind of knows what to do and what to get and what price to pay. And it's like him going to the clearance section and getting good stuff for the low. So, according to NBA.com, you know, this trade happened a few days ago. The Utah Jazz, busy once again, agreed to report front court swap. The Atlanta Hawks are sending forward John Collins to the Utah Jazz for swingman Rudy Gay and a second-round pick. Trade won't be finalized till July 6th at the earliest. Now, we obviously know who won this trade. The team that has a lot of trade bait in terms of picks. And they gave up Rudy Gay for John. And overall, the Hawks have been looking to shop John for a moment. And it kind of got NFL-ish to me. Because I'm like, they kind of diminishing his value. So maybe this is a reason why Utah was able to get him at this price.
They never should have extended.
They should never extended him. I mean, they definitely shouldn't have extended him, but it helps Utah out.
You know he's the highest paid player on the roster right now?
On the roster right now, yeah. And that's why it helps Utah right now, because Utah can go flip that. And that's the thing, though. Utah can go flip that, even if it's for a bench player. They can go flip that, because picture that. Rudy Gay, a second-round pick that we don't know potentially who it's going to be. You get John Collins, and you go flip it for something else. And that's why the Hawks are the team that they are. You know what I'm saying? And Danny Ainge is starting to ascend a Utah Jazz basketball team. Because I asked this question, I think, to one of my guys at work today. I said, with John Collins now, you got Markkanen and then you got Kessler. How is that going to work? Am I the only one surprised that Rudy Gay's still in the league? Nope. Because he's a good Samaritan. He's a good guy. And, hey, you get those riders in the league, man, and he's one of them. I wasn't surprised that he's in the league, you know. But let's see where he ends up this year.
Do you think them moving him to Utah was more of them just having to move their contract? You think new coach, because got a new coach coming in, not part of the plan? Because I don't think they really got value for him.
They didn't get no value from it. I think, honestly, they just wanted to dump it out at the end of the day. If you took this offer for him, you just wanted to get rid of him. And nobody on the table gave you a better offer than this. And that's another thing we got to look at. Like, woo, I know somebody threw something at you completely better than this.
Well, I know the rumor that I did hear, obviously, being my Mavs, that they were interested in trading for him because they was trying to talk about swapping the 10th and 15th pick. But in addition to that, they wanted, obviously, Dallas would have taken on Collins. But Utah also wanted either a combination of both or Green or Hardy. And the Mavs like, nah, we good. You got a second and a third-year player. I don't blame him for not trading him. Because you don't even know what Kyrie's going to do yet, so you might be in the market for a two guard.
Yes, and you definitely mentioned that at some point during the year. And interesting, and it's kind of good that maybe Dallas didn't take that, you know, just for the money stretch. Especially if you go resign a guy like Kyrie, you know, then that's too much. But you mentioned the 5-year, 125. Contract at 21, he still has two seasons left with a player option in 25-26. The trade creates 25.3 million trade exception, which is the largest in the NBA, and something Atlanta has a year to potentially use. So now Atlanta has that there, but as a team, I feel like they're going to have to mold themselves in order to make that money effective somewhat. Because what I predict is at the end of the day, them having to spend that money on somebody to kind of stock the rebuild of their roster. Because potentially a lot of these guys from Atlanta could be gone and they can be starting crisp with younger guys.
Do you think Trey is the next person out there?
Trey and Deontay Murray. One of them.
Okay.
Because, I mean, this deal also gives the flexibility to give contract extensions to, you know, Murray. So let's see if they extend Murray. If they extend Murray, then homie's gone. Trey's gone. You know, of course, Jake all day. And then they can extend Ogoya, Aguadu, and Sadiq Bey. but also the open up for AJ Griffin by John Collins leaving. Shout out to AJ Griffin, a guy last year who I said watch out for him. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully in the second year he's able to flourish. But again, Danny Ainge keeps fleecing. And hey, even if it's $78 million at the Utah Jazz, are they expected to do some things this year? Maybe. If John Collins is going to be a maker in that, maybe. Or they're just trying to go double flip. They want to keep playing at casinos. Because right, Danny Ainge is up to play casino.
You got Collins, Sexton, Markkanen, Clarkson, and Olynyk.
That's the lineup?
As the potential starters right now.
And Clarkson is I think Clarkson's a free agent too. I think.
He is a free agent. You're correct. He's a free agent. They got his bird right, so that can offer him the most money.
Or they offer the most money. A team. If I'm a team, I go toss him some money. Because Utah won't let him go anyway. Right now, I think it's just looking to see what Clarkson's worth is. And they waiting.
Yeah, he's 31 right now. This year is a player option, only for $14 million. Obviously, he declined it. Actually, no. The deadline's tomorrow for him to say if he's gonna stay or not. But obviously, at $14.2 million, his skill set, I turn it down. He's gonna get more money elsewhere. 31, so you got maybe one more big contract coming to you, probably.
Yeah, definitely. In this session of the NBA, you definitely can go get a couple more M's. If it's worth a couple more M's to go to somebody better than Utah, go ahead. If you do stay in Utah for the 14.2, I ain't mad at you. You know, that means you're dedicated to that squad and you like it way beyond the basketball part of it. But Utah, you know, trying to shake their team up. Atlanta, maybe perhaps looking to reshape their team. But either way, this trade was made, and I'm waiting to see what other trades are made this offseason here, man. A lot of potential guys potentially can move out. It's going to be funny to see how rosters shape will open tonight, man. We are months away, and every day there's basketball news, so we're going to get some.
Fair enough. Jake, to answer your question, as it looks right now, I would say Dallas because of free agency. Has already ended the season by greatest start. The Mavs, I have to see if they re-sign Kyrie and pick up a third option as a free agent. So to be determined. So as of right now, I say the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys. Jake, what you thought he was going to say? You thought he was going to say, Jake? How the Blue Jays playing tonight? Shout out to Bobby, man. Get you back up here.
Cleveland.
Me and Coach thinking the same thing. Let's get this man's comment up here. I got you, man. A lot of talk about Jared Allen moving from Cleveland. Where does he end up? Does it say Cleveland? I mean, he could be a guy you could toss up. Like I said last year, they have a lot of value over there that they can maneuver and trade if they want to go get a piece or feel like they are a different type of piece away from the league. But this guy's on the team last year, and though he was on that next team that was supposed to, he's on a consistent team that's trying to do consistent things and trying to be better. And if he's trade bait, then go get him. You know what I'm saying? If you trade him, then Mobley is going to be that guy. Are you ready to give Mobley those keys? And what do you get for him? What's going on, Daniel? Shout out to you, man. Shout out to you. Haven't seen your name in the chat before, so I'm going to welcome you to the Nothing But Basketball Show. Shout out, man, STWF. And you like, share, subscribe button too, man. Long watching. Appreciate you. Winning 6-1 over the Giants. Good job.
I'll tell you that.
Go ahead.
As far as Jared Allen, supposedly – the 76ers, who were trying to move Tobias Harris, they asked for Jared Allen, Evan Mobley, and a draft pick the last time they talked to him.
Hold on. So they asked for Jared Allen, Evan Mobley?
And a draft pick.
What?
Harris.
I take both of your guys off the front court to add with Joel, which would fucking make a sloppy-ass fucking front court. Like, what the hell? or you're going to try to give Embiid the less possible minutes he can so these guys can flourish and then he can flourish in the playoffs. I mean, that's the only way I see that working. But hell no. Hell to the no. Tobias Harris was salty with his reports and wanted to trade. And he said Philly was even training for a crumble cookie. So it's a lot going down. I mean, Tobias Harris, he said that you can't find a man shooting 40% from the field, 6'9". But at the end of the day, that type of talk right there will get your ass eventually traded at some point.
Right.
Say that. I'll give up Jonas Valanciunas. Ooh. And I wouldn't be mad at that right there because Jonas still brings you value to a Cleveland team and he's a veteran. You know, so I ain't mad at that. And Allen for the Pelicans, woo! Look at that. Keep Zion a little healthy. You know what I'm saying? and I'm not mad at that, Bobby. I actually like that. Now, it'll probably be something else on the back end, too, but maybe not. But straight up, it's not bad. I like Valanciunas because he gives you production.
He does. But I like the chemistry of the team. But I don't know. I don't think there's going to be no straight-up swap for that, though.
No, it's not definitely going to be a trade-up, a swap, because, you know, Allen's a much more – I think he has the little bit more of an upside, you know. But, like I said, Valanciunas can contribute to the team in terms of putting the ball on the rim at times. Definitely. They have a lot of first rounders, so they can throw it in the mix too. Yeah, you can throw Cleveland a first rounder, and Cleveland will definitely take that.
I do hear the rumors about him potentially coming, you know, here, but I don't see that because I'm like, they just got a rookie. They got my man Roshan from the Kings, who's their starting center. I think the only way they would even entertain that is if they're able to get off that Tim Hardaway Jr. contract.
Yeah, they definitely got to get out that contract, man. Some point, man, they got to get out that move, man. I mean, and that's no disrespect to Tim Hardaway Jr., but at the same time, man, you ain't Tim Hardaway.
He's ran his course, man. They gave him ample opportunity.
Shout out to you for the amazing questions, Bobby, and amazing input. As long as everybody else tonight, you know what I'm saying, keeping the number back for sure live. I'm over here watching the live as I'm doing the live, you know what I'm saying, seeing how we sound real good, man. Shout
out to you. You ready for our first break for tonight?
We have to take breaks because we got to pay bills, man. So 15:20, grab a quick beverage or something and come back with your boys. You heard?
Yes, sir.
What's up, guys? It's Mike Larimore here. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to STWF Media for all of the love and the positivity they've been sending my way recently. We partnered up, you know what I'm saying? I just like the energy the guys bring over there. So any sports talk, you want to talk football, you want to talk baseball, they might even talk bowling if you're interested. Boxing, whatever your thing is, man, go check them out. There's a lot of great coverage over there. Again, it's nothing but positive energy from these guys. Go check them out. Peace.
What's going on with it? Sign it out, man. We back at it, man. Number basketball show. What's up, man? We got to pay the bills, so we got to take a break.
John Collins, Hawks told you to beat it.
Just beat it. Tell me, just beat it, man. So, hey, summer league's coming up soon, man. I can't wait for it, man. You all going to see this young talent, unsigned guys, you know, playing for a dream in a shop. You know, at making a roster, man. I can't wait for it, man. I think one's starting up, I think, next week.
I think you're right.
I think the one in Salt Lake City starts I think, next week, early next week. And Victor Wembanyama will not be part of that, but he'll be a part of the NBA Summer League at UNLV.
You know what's funny about that? They say last year the average ticket for a Spurs game during the regular season was about $68. The summer league ticket for his first game are going for the average, like $128, $148.
Mm.
So it's doubled.
That's a good touch up over there at that arena, man. Definitely. People going definitely the first game, depending on how he plays, continue to show up. And that's the key that he's going to have early, being who he is and what he's done wherever he's been at. He's got to show in, show out. You know what I'm saying? I can remember Zion was kind of like the last guy that had this, you know, circumference. And he came out and, you know what I'm saying, took him a couple minutes. But, you know, then he started seeing what Zion can be. And he does it to this day, but he just gets hurt. So I wonder what Victor's going to do, man. So shout out to the young G's once again, man. Can't wait for Summer League. We're definitely going to be talking about it on another basketball show, which brings me to, you know, my third story, man. Because I feel blessed today, man. You know what I'm saying? I feel blessed at the basketball show. I feel like, you know, to set something up, man, which Coach does, you know, about 85% of the time, you know, it's good to let him get a break, man, and you know what I'm saying? Do his thing, man, because y'all may not know. Coach may stay quiet a lot of times, but got a lot of good input, man. You know what I'm saying? He's the man, you know what I'm saying? I call him the maintenance man, you know what I'm saying? My God, you know? Hey, would you consider Jokic a, how can I say this, a marketable player? Marketable individual.
In the U.S.?
Yes.
No, because he's the average guy. I think if he wasn't playing basketball, he'd just be the tall dude at the job stacking boxes.
It's crazy to say that, because we're going into the topic. Guys may not be part of the fearless team. I'm not part of the fearless team, but I watch the fearless team. So I want to give a shout out, no bull, to my man Jason Whitlock, because I do watch you, brother. And
be careful around here.
Now be careful around here. I watch a lot of Jason, you know, and not people say, oh, you watch him for his points? No, because this is our job and we have to watch guys like this. And out of all the guys I watch, honestly, I like, you know, the two sides that he posts on things sometimes. It's just me, I'm a guy that, you know, I need a couple chuckles, need a couple laughs, you know what I'm saying? Mix the comedy around with the sports sometimes, you know, but all you got to be serious. And this is, you know, this is what he gets paid to do. So he states that Nikolai Jokic's dominance may be bad for sports. And here is why. And quote, shout out to the Basketball Network. Again, I'm not knocking Nikola Jokic. He strikes me as a humbled, well-intentioned and rational. He also strikes me as someone well aware that the NBA isn't all that important. That's not good for American basketball. Passion permits fantasticism. And fantasticism drives interest in the game. Despite the best efforts of ESPN and Fox Sports 1 debate shows, the NBA is a lot less interested than it used to be. Globalism is partly to blame. He says globalism, Whitlaw says, is the blame for the rise in international players. And in the NBA, he accuses it of diminishing and diluting everything it touches. As a result, the biggest achievement in American sports can mean less for these non-American players, which Whitlaw feels is a bad look for the league. He says, as well, his finals MVP and championship hit different, meaning they did not feel nearly as important as his predecessors' crowning achievements. That's not intended as a knock on a Serbian superstar who has earned his first title. It's a knock on the NBA and Nike's 30-year global mission. Globalism diminishes and dilutes everything it touches, Whitlock says. And that's pretty much the end of that. So how do you feel about Whitlock's statements on the reigning finals MVP? And I'm going to call him the MVP of the league, too. Because, no disrespect to Joel Embiid, but you stole his trophy. You know, so MVP all around, MVP, Jokic. How do you feel about Whitlock's comments?
I couldn't agree more. You know, we've talked about it on this particular show before, how Cuban got blasted, I guess, by either last year, maybe the year before last, when he made the comment about how the European players are taking over the NBA. And as you can see, the last few years, other than this year, well, actually, even this year, less and less players that are U.S. born are winning the MVPs. And you even see it. Like, we joked and laughed, and people said it's not that important, but I think they showed a initial roster for the FIBA games, I think. And it was very lackluster. But everybody's like, well, it's not, the limit's not that important. But I'm of a mindset, it don't matter who we send over there. We are not just easily going to just roll over teams anymore like we used to. You got to bring your A game, especially. We struggle with the international rules, the lane, you know, the size of the lanes and the lane rules and things of that nature. So as far as Joker is concerned, I commend him, man. It's bad. You know, he goes hard during the season, and then when he's done, he wants to go home. I think they asked him about the parade. He wanted to know why the parade couldn't be sooner, as he was ready to go home to play with his horses. So
right. And then hold on. The media changes him. And then hold on. I said this last year about Giannis too. Don't let the media change you. Then you got Giannis in here arguing with the mediaites. Now Jokic wants to have fun and party. I mean, though he's portraying it for the media, that's what they want.
Right.
Because eventually they can soak you up.
They can.
And I'm going to make a weird sound right now. It might sound kind of crazy, but this time I'm going to bring a special guest in. I'm going to call him a special guest tonight because this seems like the perfect topic for him to come in right now and give his analysis. Coming through on a satellite. You know what I'm saying? Coming down south for the Mass border. You know, catch him in a boat or something or something in a yacht. My guy, Chili Will, man.
What's good, folks? Little late.
That's all good, man. It's all good, man. You came through possibly for a great, great, great discussion. I mean, the other ones were great, but this one right here, at the time you came in, because Coach is kind of continuing his opinion on the Jokic situation. And I'll repeat it to you if you didn't hear it. Jason Whitlock.
I did miss it. So what was the
Jason Whitlock basically says that Jokic's impact basically on basketball is not something that people basically pay attention to because of where he comes from.
He's boring. But he is Joker, and at the end of the day, it's all about being
why so serious.
And that he doesn't have the awareness of the NBA being important, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely plays a role that he's not – global. He's just not into being a superstar off the court. He don't really he has no desire to live that life. He just wants to play ball and go home. And yeah, he's been like that. That's part of why he's good, because he doesn't get distracted and deal with any of that nonsense off the court. Yeah, man, he's not for all the nonsense at all.
Here's the part that sticks out to me. In the article that we're reading from, it says, unlike superstars in the past, Jokic didn't scream anything is possible like Kevin Garnett did after winning the title in 2008, nor was the Serbian center caught sobbing and hugging the Larry O'Brien trophy in the locker room. He's like, it's work. It's a 9-to-5. You pay me to do a job,
yeah.
I do a job. When I'm done, I go home.
He hasn't elevated basketball to a point of this means more than anything in my life. Like, nah, I'm a regular dude who likes to go home and tend to my horses. He can't talk about his horses. That's all he wanted to do is get back to his stable.
One thing I would say that I love about it is that, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of what the kind of like the motto is in sports now. Like, they're telling people not only, you know, be more than basketball players. And in this world, you can be more than what you are. Look at us doing a podcast and we have other jobs on the side. So I'm not mad at Joker for what he is. The NBA, honestly, is just at a one-star right now because people are used to watching television and used to watching, no disrespect, but watching a majority of the great guys being from the same country you're from.
Yeah.
You get a once in a million international prospect, or maybe two or three, you know, but they're coming at a lump sum right now. So it's more of globalism on the American side, I feel, and them being mad at it, you know what I'm saying? Where it's bringing a new audience, it's bringing new people to the trend, it's bringing guys that you never thought you would debate with, play with, anything. People, for the most part, wouldn't even believe that you could play with so many international guys. And international guys thinking like, damn, I met so many Americans, I'm playing with so many. Yo, it's the love of the game is building up. Like, we know this. We used to watch back in the day, you know, the little kids in China and the little kids in this place, you know, with no opportunity. And then basketball players started reaching out and making it an opportunity for them. So what are these guys supposed to do?
The game is growing. Those guys, yeah, go ahead.
I want to ask you, each one of y'all a two-part question. Mm-hmm. One, do you think the N1 era was bad for basketball, for American basketball, rather?
Nah, that was like, it was still part of the ISO era. And it honestly didn't bleed all that much into the NBA. As much as
they didn't ever let anything bleed that much into them. And Ice Cube was talking about the other day.
Well, except for this Euro League, though. This Euro League is like, I mean, the way they the play.
I mean, yeah, because they, I mean, obviously,
like, the whole league.
Yeah, the product. I mean, yeah, when, you know, when you got Nike down there and all that, like I said, when you're reaching basketball players over there, like, N1 is kind of like, it's in the hood setting. So it's never going to taunt, it was never going to get close to the NBA anyway. And that's kind of how the Big Three kind of has that feel, where the NBA doesn't want to mess with Ice Cube either. The Ice Cube just call them the gatekeepers. You know what I'm saying? Talking about the gatekeepers. But,
I look at it like, you got to think. Obviously, you know, I came up in a different era from you guys, so I was fortunate enough to see Kareem, you know, when he was still doing his thing, Dr. J and things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm that old. But for me, it seemed like then, before, you know, the multi-million-dollar contracts, they played for the love of the game. And at the same time, that to be on that stage, to be that star player, was the driving ambition, not the money side of it. And right now, I think that's where the internationalist game is at. Those guys are in it for the love of the game, because they can make not just as much money, but they can make some damn good money over in the European League. Right? But when they get over here, they're fundamentally sound. They got a love for the game, as we talked about, Joker. And I think that works to their advantage. And we're kind of behind in that aspect. We're still playing the ISO ball where it comes to the team ball. We're dominating us. I do not feel good about these Olympics that's coming up. I'm going to be honest about it. I feel like we're going to have to – I think we've lulled ourselves back into it again, because we went out, we wreck shot a couple of years, and we feel like we got our swagger back as being the dominant team in the world. But I think we can't be naive and think that we're going to go over there and just roll over people. We don't have the luxury anymore.
Well, we also don't have – it's a little weird. From the last thing I saw, I don't know who's going to go next time, but I doubt guys like Curry go. He's getting up there in age. He's not going to want to spend the extra treading his tire overseas. We're not sending the best product or the top tier players as much anymore. Those guys aren't really always going when we play. What's it, FIBA? Yeah, when we play FIBA. So it's going to be fascinating. I mean, it might have been a joke. I don't remember if it was like a serious roster, but some of the roster that I saw, like what they were predicting was going to, who was going to go, or who's already said they were going to go, that team is going to struggle. That team is not going to, like, it's young. It's there. The star power is not very high. It is not looking great for the next team we send overseas. You checking to look at that roster?
Yeah, I'm trying to look at it before I look into, or before Coach looks into it. I want to give a shout out. We got a new subscriber, guys.
Who we got?
My guy Josh Brown, man. Shout out to my man Josh
Brown. Shout out to Josh Brown,
man. My man, yo, from the hood, man. Hey, you know what's crazy? You know what I'm saying? He over here watching on the motherfucking big screen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know, I love casting. That's fire.
You know
what I'm saying?
Hey, you know, brother, man, appreciate you. Had a good talk with him today as well. So, you know what I'm saying? We got a new subscriber. She said, He said to say that to y'all, man. You know,
live saying? And direct. We in the living room right now. Let's go.
Yes, sir. Brother.
So, I'm looking at it right now. The obviously it's not solidified,
right?
But the possible Team USA roster, you got Dame, Tatum, Mitchell.
Oh, so Tatum's gonna go. Okay.
Trae Young, Zion, really? Ja. Collins, John Collins, Mellow Ball, Tyler Hero,
Garden, man.
Jalen Green, Imani Bates, and Kerr as the head coach.
Imani Bates is already on that team.
That's a small team, though.
That is a very small team.
They say
yeah,
like
a small team.
One of the biggest guys is John Collins. That's rough.
Yeah,
he already don't really rebound enough.
We don't know guys, you know. You don't know middle. Yeah, the team's gonna go in there. Trump. I mean, who is it supposed to open for it was supposed to possibly open. It could be a redemption tour, real talk, if this season goes well, the second quarter of it, third quarter of it, for Ja Morant.
Yeah.
That's who's really supposed to lock in Steph Curry's spot. And honestly, you bring Nicolai down there, Zion, another guy. Like, these guys are projected here because this is supposed to be the future here at the Olympics. But these guys are playing through situations. If they play through their situations this year, and Zion's healthy enough and Ja is not wigging no guns, you know, potentially this for guys like that, they don't have the experience, but they can scale all motherfuckers, man. Let's see if it happens, man. You know,
he will be athletic, but
last year.
That team will be athletic. I just don't know how. I mean, they're gonna have to step it up. Plus, we don't got Coach K. I don't think he's gonna coach that no more. So
he Kerr's the coach.
It's Kerr, no more Coach K.
Yeah.
So Will likes lists, and as of February the 27th of this year, the top 20 international rankings is very close, but Team USA is number 2.
USA is always gonna hold that until they move.
Wait, so we're ranked number 2 in what?
As far as the international rankings on the international teams.
That's not the number, but as the leader in basketball, that's not the number we want.
No, that's not the number we want, but we just spoke about why, I mean, that number is really right now, because we're looking for the fucking USA team do it. We're trying to bring all the time dogs down there.
So we haven't
been able to bring the dogs down there. You know what I'm saying? The last USA team played good enough, you know what I'm saying, to win, you know, but we still was complaining every day on the TV screen like this shit ain't enough, you know? So it's going to be interesting.
It should have been.
Right.
So right now, the top 10, Italy is number 10, Greece is 9, Lithuania 8, Slovenia 7, Serbia 6, France 5, Argentina 4, Australia 3, the US 2, and Spain is number 1.
Spain always up there, man.
Spain give us fits. They give us fits in the last games.
I think Rudy Fernandez is still playing for them. Remember Rudy?
Yeah.
For the Blazers?
Yeah. The Latino Kobe.
Yeah, he be balling for them. Latino Kobe, yeah. That's
my brother call him.
He was a monster. Oh,
bro. Messi or Ronaldo? Shout out to you, man.
Messi all day.
Oscar 90, man. You know, shout out on Twitch, man. We're also on Twitch as well, man. So holler at us, YouTube, Twitch. You know what I'm saying? Facebook. You know, holler at us. Our pages specifically. You know, SCWF page. Messi or Ronaldo. I'm going to go Messi too.
Messi just built different. Messi isn't just amazing. He makes like everybody around him better.
Indeed, definitely.
And he just won it all.
Guys, Jokic is going to have to – when I said this, man, before I think Will came on, I said, until the media gets you, you can remain who you are. I mentioned Giannis, and I predicted that they would somewhat get to him after the Celtics series last year. And even worse, he lost in the first round. And you heard the media guys and the girls talking about, you know, the MJ and all this and that, and his response was basically like not arguing, but, you know – a tip of his voice kind of went up. So, yeah, Jokic can, you know, do whatever he wants until the media guys get him in terms of the talking and yapping. You know, you're a champion now. Now you go into the season, and the way you're talking about it, oh, basketball's not important. You go out there and you lose, then it's going to be different. So let's see the media go get him. Or you're going to say, F that. I'm going to my horses after that.
I don't think Joker, he might evolve a little bit, but I don't think he'll ever really change. And, to OZKOK, yeah, man. Like, are you from France? So Mbappe, I love watching that kid play. So y'all got a great team. I see now why it was hard to hear the Messi part.
They took y'all down.
But yeah, Joker. I don't think Joker will ever be changed by the media. I think when the time comes, when the time comes for Joker, I believe he'll just walk away from the game. He's just gonna go back home. The NBA is in an interesting spot. Luckily, they have other stars that they can definitely rock with. But their best player right now is probably Joker overall, pound for pound right now. And he's the same thing as in the MLB is like Mike Trout. It's probably their best player, and he's not marketable at all. He's not somebody that you're going to put in a bunch of commercials because he just doesn't have that personality. And now Joker probably has that personality, but he doesn't really want to share it with the world. He's all set. Like, my man really didn't want to go to the parade, none of that. So, yeah, I think it's fascinating where the game is gone. I think because the NBA is evolving to the style of play that Europe plays, I kind of wonder if we did that because it's a better brand of basketball, or if we did that to help transition those guys into this league to make it a more global game. I wonder what came first. Was it the adaption of people's actual game within the sport in the NBA, or did we do that to try to gather those folks overseas? I know Curry played a big role in how the league changed into what it did.
NBA wanted a piece of that.
It's definitely possible, yeah.
Wanted a piece of the devil's pie.
But it's funny because it's trickling down. If you ever catch basketball on the lower levels now, like high school basketball and stuff like that, the pace is unbelievable. They just every offense is like the D'Antoni 7 seconds or less offense. Offense almost in high school. Yeah, there's no need for – they can lower shot clock to 12, and it wouldn't really affect them almost at all.
They fire. They getting up as many shots as possible.
Yeah.
Who would you say right now are the top 5 NBA players right now?
I'd say Joker, Giannis.
Yep.
I'd still have Curry up there. Braun is still playing at a crazy level. I guess you kind of still have to have him in that spot. Tatum. And I guess you could put Ja up there. I'm probably missing somebody.
Okay, so I'm looking at this is according to SportsNot.com.
Oh, Luka.
They've got Joker number 1, yeah. Giannis number 2, yeah. And Embiid 3, Luka 4, and Curry 5. According to them, their top 4 players are international.
Yeah,
we got some. Those guys got to get it in gear, man, because the game is slipping away from them.
That's both. It's weird. That's both good and bad for the league. I don't know if it's bad in terms of we always want our homegrown product to be the best, but it's good in terms of money because it's globalizing the game.
Right.
You get two monies instead of one. Because you guys from other countries, so you get $2 in one. So I'm not mad at it, man. The game's gonna keep on getting stronger. Teams are gonna look like they can compete against one another, but obviously you're going to have teams with losing records, winning records. That's just the way leagues are. It wouldn't be leagues if everybody had winning records. Wouldn't be a league if nobody had losing records. Wouldn't be a league if one team wasn't stronger than another. That's just the way it is. You got to play team ball, competition, got to have good all-around, you know, DNA about, man. But this leads to another segue. A lot of our stuff been leading to segues tonight. So I'm going to ask a question to both of you. Huh?
You had a good one tonight. Definitely
got some good ones tonight, man. Definitely. And the last one is going to touch a few people's – touch it. It's going to touch you a little bit. I'm not going to touch you. But this topic is definitely going to touch you because it involves two Hall of Famers who I feel have respect for each other. But after hearing just like the headline of it, maybe not. And this is why it's being said. So we're going to go right here to Fox News. Shout out to Fox News for this incredible article. We all know Dennis Rodman. We all know the Worm. We all know he's done some crazy stuff. Obviously, some crazy takes. He's made some crazy friends. But he's back on the crazy tour again, according to Fox News. He says someone who's a Hall of Famer wouldn't make the NBA in current era. He'd be in Europe. Dennis Rodman is not done taking shots at who? Larry Bird. According to Vlad TV, Rodman was asked about comments made by Gilbert Arenas, who said Bird would probably beat LeBron James in a one-on-one matchup.
Absolutely.
Rodman disagreed, and he went in full explanation and said, if Larry Bird play in this era, I think he'll be in Europe. I'm just letting you know, man, he'll be someone over there. His game was fit for Boston at the time in the 80s and stuff like that. Today's world, though, oh, hell no. There's no way. I'm not downplaying him because he was a great player at that time, just like I was. But I'm saying no. There's no way. Now, you know they battled in the 80s, the Pistons and the Celtics. They disliked each other as two teams, with the Celtics beating the Pistons in the playoffs. Rahman saying that the series was overrated because Bird was white. So, obviously, like I said, there was already some little bit of friction there. Friction probably between a lot of blacks and Larry Bird in that day, man, because that dude just was giving motherfuckers his nods.
Black folks loved him.
Robin said as well, I was green. I was just saying anything. Robin told Vlad TV when asked how his comments, I was frustrated because guess what? I got my ass whooped by this kid. That's why I probably said something like that. Not because I was angry or hated, something like that. And because I wasn't paying attention to the whole league. I was just paying attention to my team. Or I was just wondering why this guy was so good or what I would call it great. So I think I would have said the same thing if he was black. I would have said something in a different direction, but it just so happened to be Larry Bird, and I apologize for that many, many times over.
The worm sounded like he got CTE. Nah, man, unless cocaine can give you CTE.
But he went CTE when at the end he said, I think the kid from Denver is way better than him. He praised Jokic and said, I think Jokic is way better than him. So Jokic is not only getting praise over other greats, but praise over the greats of the greats. You know what I'm saying? And, hey, that's what it is, man. So first off, can we all agree that it's ridiculous to say that Larry Bird would be playing in Europe if he was
Right.
Ain't no way. Duncan Robinson just started games in the NBA Finals this year. Duncan Robinson, he got a tenth of Larry Bird's talent. I don't want to hear that.
Shout out, Worm. Sound like you got CT for real.
I went and looked, and I pulled the stats for Bird versus Robin head-to-head.
Murdered that man.
15 games, he averaged 24.7, 8, and 6.9 assists.
And that's honestly light work for Larry Legend.
Light work. While shooting 48.7% from the field.
Mm. Yeah, you shoot 48 against Robin, man, and I salute you. You know what I'm saying? And Robin was he was a young defender then. Didn't do a lot of crazy stuff. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't the guy, obviously, in Chicago that played crazier. And I guess that's defense. But at the same time, you know, a lot of people wasn't checking Larry. And in those primetime games, man, Larry was coming there and do that. One thing that Detroit did, though, was learn from their mistakes and able to counter, you know what I'm saying, years after that. But, I mean, like I said, Dennis Rodman holds a little bit of hatred still towards Bird. Probably not race or anything. But just because that motherfucker was good. And if it wasn't for Larry, maybe they sneak in a few more championships. You know, and you're talking to Vlad TV, so you know Vlad going to get a lot of shit out of you. You know, even if you're ratting or doing something, you know, they're going to get something out of you.
Vlad always got some clickbaity shit on his channel.
Always clickbait stuff. Like, he was waiting for that. Like, yeah, we're going to kill Larry Bird. We're going to have him going Larry Bird, man. But, Dennis said something at the end that was interesting, too. And it kind of related me to probably his tenure potentially as a star in this era. What did he say? He said, man, what did he say? Damn.
I definitely know that that Larry.
I was watching that interview. He was basically inscribing that he may not play in this era either. You know what I'm saying? But he's just letting everybody know he's giving an analysis on him, but wanted always, despite that, he was a bad motherfucker. And, you know, a bad motherfucker, you have dreams about him at night. Like, damn, Larry killing me. You know what I'm saying? How can I do? Yeah. A lot of people
like
that.
Think about what we were just doing. It wasn't, a month ago where we were like, there was memes everywhere calling Jimmy Butler, like, Jordan's son because of the way he was playing. He was a dog. Like, that was a Tuesday for Larry Bird, that behavior. Just a normal Tuesday. What was playing at that level with that type of dog mentality. And we just, in this era, we were just sitting there flipping out over Jimmy Butler because we don't really have a lot of that left in this game anymore. We don't have killers like that, like the Kobe type of guys, the MJ type of guys. We don't have a lot of guys like that left in the league who
thanks step AAU. On their throat.
That's definitely part of it. I mean, I just think, I guess if you blame AAU for how like everyone's friendly with each other because they all play together growing up. But I feel like guys play against each other growing up like, before they just
you know it's crazy.
They had like a more of a mentality to kill each other.
Some guys play not to get hurt. Sorry for my dryer. Thought it'd be dumb about it. But nah, no bullcrap. I feel like it's because of guys not working out hard enough. You work out, yeah, you don't want to get hurt, but I feel like people practice off, the mentality's off. And hold on, coach. I got my camera off, but you're going to hear me loudly. When I first got on this show, it probably was season 2.
Okay.
I told you what basketball players do when they practice. They don't practice 7 days a week no more.
You did say that. I remember that.
They don't practice 7 days a week no more. They don't have the hop like everybody used to. They want to do the stuff they do. They want to shoot.
Yeah.
A million jump shots, 2 days a week.
Post to Instagram. Right. Everything was practicing. That's why Kobe was who he was.
Yeah, but Kobe was different in any era. I mean, I think you can go back and you can find throughout history, even I don't think Larry Bird didn't practice every day like that either. I don't think MJ did. But even MJ had a gambling problem, a drinking problem. He had a bunch of shit that he was doing.
No. When Larry and them hit that hoist, like you getting older and stuff, you really can't work out. That's for the years of them working out on their game. Especially Larry's ass. He was out there. He had to go work on his game. He had a purpose every night. And we just mentioned him being white in the NBA and what it was in the day. Hell yeah. And he was working out so he couldn't work out no more because he's been busting everybody's ass. And then he got old. That even in the Olympic showing, his back was hurting, so he barely could practice with the team.
But yeah, maybe they work a little more. I think the real problem is social media, where they're all working together, like they work with each other, so they build friendships, and then they don't want to get out there. Yeah, Twitter figures. They work out together more, so that when they get on the court, they don't want to break those bonds. They don't want to create those rivalries. Whereas, like. Whether or not they worked every day, Magic and Bird was gonna go at it. They had problems back in college. Like they had respect for each other, but they were gonna go at it on the court. MJ came in, man. They had a problem with him. They wanted to stop him at all costs. Like it wasn't. Braun changes too by ganging up with Miami and stuff like that. Like what they did there. Again, it was a culture of we all friends, we're friendly. Versus nah, I want to come out here and kill you every night, and that's. Like Larry and them had that in them, and that's what made Larry great.
Like they wanted to go out there because nigga, like this spots now. People spots are not guaranteed. The spots wasn't guaranteed back then. I feel like the level of competitiveness is definitely ups a lot in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? Where less friendlier guys, kind of make a mean rugged game. But I mean, NBA's gone away from the mean rugged game, trying to make everything soap opera. You know what I'm saying? Like the orchestra. You know what I'm saying? Make everything nice and clean. You know, the notes are nice. You can hear them.
They couldn't have no more malice in the palace.
Oh, so, definitely so couldn't have none of that.
That's why they wanted to get away from that.
They told Rod Artest they had to change his name to Meta World Peace.
Yeah.
In order to keep peace in the league. And guess what? He still elbowed motherfucking James Harden's ass with an elbow.
Yeah. I can't believe he said that was an accident. He was wilding.
Absolutely. For real, man.
All that Henny before games.
Dennis. Your comments may have been crazy. We already know that you come with some crazy tasting like that. But you hold on, coach, you got it. You I know you got it. I know it ain't Monday. I know we used to have a Monday show, that used to ring this horn. But I got it. I gotta have it tonight, man. Cause what you saying, Dennis Rodman, and you one of my favorite defensive player of all time. You're like my top five of players.
But Robin, you want some.
You want some.
Never gets old.
Dennis, you on some bully tonight, man.
Take him out the game.
This is fun. Yeah. Hey, Dennis, you ain't that crazy. You know why? Because you ain't give none of your ex-wives or your side pieces that bull's 401k money.
No, you smart.
All the Pistons 401k money.
To his credit, he backtracked. He backtracked by saying he might not be in the league either. And he know he crazy. He would have been.
He had to make a story for Vlad. He said, I got you.
he wanted to give Vlad something to run with. He must be selling a book sometime soon or something.
Man, you go to jail, boy.
Something to talk about.
Yeah, basically.
talk about Bird.
Is that the last topic that I come in for, like, basically almost the last topic?
Came in at halftime, bro, and it was a good halftime performance because he put up 50 in the second. You know what I'm saying? And I had one point, and Coach had another point, 52. So I feel like we won the game. So it don't matter. You came at the right time. You know, we were struggling a little bit without you, brother. And I mean that from the heart, you know what I'm saying? Because you
appreciate
know, we like
that. Appreciate
triangle,
that.
We like the triangle here.
I gotta be on time. I gotta be on time, man.
Brother, it's all good, man. You made an appearance, man. You know, and that's the best case scenario for everything, man. Is that I got to bring you in as a, like a special guest. You know what I'm saying? You felt like Nick Wright for a moment. I know you don't want to be Nick Wright. But I'm sorry, but that's where that went.
Nick Wright don't want to be Nick Wright. Them terrible ass takes. How did they still get paid?
It's like the media's got him too.
Yeah, yo, his appearance has just changed through the years, just in general. He gets weirder and weirder every day.
Hey, that's what happens when you get comfortable and you got a good wife, nice wife at the crib, and she ain't saying nothing to you, but get that money, baby.
Yeah. Looking like a homeless man's Adam Driver.
Right. Yo, fellas, man, it's been a great week, man. It's been a great, great, great week. Shout-outs. Who got shout-outs?
Shout out to you fellows, man, as always. Will, you came in and you saved the day. Hell of a job. You banged out these topics tonight, man.
Absolutely.
That great content that is always, every Wednesday, two with the production skill. Everybody,
yes, that's you. Tonight,
we definitely appreciate you. Chris Ballard, Bobby, Jay, Kyrie, Daniel, Oscog 90. Appreciate y'all hanging out with your boys tonight. It's what we do.
Shout out to everybody in the chat. I mean, shout out to you fellas for holding it down. You know what I mean? Doing the thing.
I was a doofy, man.
You may have limped into the game like Willis Reed, but I'm here. You know what I mean? We
had the same traffic ball pass. It just took about a good 40 minutes. It's all good.
But just glad to bust down a whole other week of great shows and look forward to getting into it more next week. We were going to, just quick update to everybody, we were going to do a tap out show this week. We realized that, though. The great card that we were looking for, I believe, is next week. Yep. So we will be doing a tap out show next Friday. Stay tuned and look for that. And obviously our regularly scheduled program, I believe. Oh, are we going on?
Oh, we got to announce one more thing.
Yeah, we got to announce that part.
So usually, you know, people go on vacations, do all that. We're not going on no vacations. The group's still going to be ringing and rocking. Yep. But we have decided as a group to take a few weeks off, you know, to prepare ourselves not only for football season, but the team, our growth as a brand.
Yeah.
And, you know, while we're doing that, you know, you may see some interesting things that you're not used to seeing from us.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what that is, but you'll find out a little bit more as the month of July rings in. But you'll definitely see us, you know. This hair will be used in some capacity.
Absolutely.
But Chop Up will definitely stay on Tuesdays all July, so every Tuesday catches, man. We got if you only see us that on the Chop Up, we're going to make that shit a Chop Up for real. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So
definitely going to do it in, man. But, you know, we always going to be loud. You always going to hear us. You know what I'm saying? And everybody else in the group. So while we are doing that, man, hey, YouTube, please. I'm looking. We are looking as a crew for 1,000 followers. So if you know a friend that just wants to be in a great mindset, peaceful group environment, tell them to come through and like that subscribe button, man. Looking for 1,000. Once 1,000 come up, man, maybe you have a money prize for one lucky group member. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know.
No promises.
On my behalf, we get, as soon as we touch 1,000 followers, I will try to find some way to see who every follower is, and those followers will be entered to win. It's going to be a 1 out of 1,000 winner, but somebody will win.
Some kind of raffle. Nice.
Appreciation. Yeah. You know, say, so everybody that's already subscribed, you guys are already in the hat. Again, we got to find out who all these people are, but absolutely. I feel like that's not that hard.
Yeah, not a lot yet. We're building. We're still building.
We can copy and paste 1,000 names.
Absolutely.
And it's all right. But other than that, man, appreciate you guys supporting. And y'all have a great rest of y'all week and a good night.
Mbappe, shoot!